everybody. This is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from the tops of the Rocky Mountains. I've got a couple of guests this evening. I will introduce them in a minute. Something we always should have done is talk about the Mission Prophecy Keepers Foundation. It's actually the mission of the White Roots of Peace Indian Council through Prophecy Keepers Foundation is to fulfill the wishes of the Hopi, Cherokee, and Iroquois White Roots of Peace gathering elders of the 1950s and 1960s and sending their prophetic messages around the world to establish peace through the worldwide realization of our ancient common global relatedness. My guest this evening, well, this is really a kind of a special show. I need to just kind of pause and explain some things here. Since January, since meeting our two guests, all of our lives have really kind of been thrown for a loop. And we'll get to more of that later. But, you know, that we try to teach folks how to communicate with Creator. And we have learned through the years, through observation and my observation, other people's observation that listens to the Spirit, that when Creator is really getting ready to bless you, there are hard times sometimes. Well, it was I met Jimmy Ten Rivers back in January through our mutual friend Ben Yosef, who I'd known for several years, and he brought Jimmy to my house and became instant brothers. And there were some really special things that happened at that time. But about a week later, a fellow calls me and introduces himself as Jay Lone Wolf. And he says, "Have you ever heard of me?" And I said, "No." I said, "You have me at a disadvantage." And he says, "Well," he says, "I'm accused of being an internationally famous painter." And he says, just Google me. And I did. And I just found out some astounding things about this man. He's of Apache heritage. And but anyway, he just said, "You know, I was raised in New York City, and I've been on the East Coast, and been away from my people." And he said, "I'm calling you because somebody told me that that you help people like me." And he said, "I'd like to be introduced to some of my people." And I just laughed out loud, and I told him, I said, "You know," I said, I said, "I've met a few Apaches in the past, but I told him I had a very special meeting with one of your cousins just a week or two ago." And I said, I just laughed. I said, "Creator set this up." So I put Jay Lone Wolf in touch with Jimmy. And I guess from that point, why don't we just introduce you, Jimmy? I took up too much time, but I needed to lay the groundwork for this because it's really momentous to me. Say hello, Jimmy.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing good, thank you.
And you're sitting in a house in what town?
Well, we're in Walsenburg, Colorado.
Okay, and supposedly we also have with us Grandfather Jay, and I should have introduced Jimmy as grandfather also because he is an elder. Maybe not. He's a little bit younger than me, but he's still an elder. You know, take my word for it. Anyway, he wouldn't call himself that because, you know. Anyway, Grandfather Jay Lone Wolf, are you there?
Of course.
Okay, folks. Now I want to explain some things. I had not spoken with Jay for 7 months, and he called me a few days ago, and. Well, he left a message, you know, a month and a half ago, and he sounded very hoarse like he just did. But he called me a couple of days ago, and he says, "I can't believe it." He says, "I've got so much energy." He says, folks, if you're on the internet, just Google Jay Lone Wolf, LONEWOLF, and you're going to see some of the fantastic paintings that this man does. He is monochromatic. He can only see, I guess, in black and white and shades of gray. And but the man truly is a legend in the art world. But no one knew about this. Well, he told people that he was Apache. They knew it, but he had some things that he wanted to share with his blood cousins. And because of how all the globetrotting he'd been doing. He had never had a chance to. And I guess I hear through the grapevine you've been praying for a long time that your people come and get you. And it almost broke me heart, my heart, folks, because I knew Jay had gone through this. And then we spoke over the phone a few times over the next couple of months, and all of a sudden Jay dropped out of sight. I had no idea what happened. And I guess I didn't check his MySpace page at the, well, anyway, it was a month after he had his heart attack that I contacted his daughter. And then it's been another couple of months, and there has been a lot of prayer going on. But anyway, I've talked enough. I'm going to have to kind of talk for Jay tonight. He is there, folks, but he's been working so hard. Well, let me explain. Last Friday, he had a one-man exhibition. Pops out of bed after having a heart attack, and he was telling me that he has a registered nurse friend, Gray Feathers, that used the allopathic methods and the Apache methods, nursed him back to health, shocked the heck out of me when he calls me, and his voice is almost normal. But so he has this one-man exhibition. Then he's got eight people in his studio building new canvases for him. It's like the resurrection all over again. I was so happy that you're with us. But I guess from what Jay had told me, and translating again, I'm gonna have to tell his story tonight, folks. But he'd been pretty sick, but that his spirit knows where it wants to go, but his body rebels. So Jimmy, what do you think about what's happened with Jay? And tell us about the prayers that went on at the Sundance, and you just talk for a while, okay?
Okay. When I first was introduced to Jay, we got a chance to just speak on the telephone a couple times, and he expressed his real want and love for his people and need to be around them, and we've been building a community here in our area over the past 12 years of weekly sweat lodges, and we've been able to bring back a lot of the puberty ceremonies from the Apache people and a lot of the songs and things like that that we're trying to teach to our community. And we've really been praying for Jay, our whole community. And without knowing this man, and actually ever meeting him and shaking his hand, I really just from speaking to him can tell the love that he has for his people. And hopefully someday that we're going to be able to meet each other. But this year at our Sundance, we're going into our seventh year of Sundance this year, which we were fortunate enough to meet a lot of elders that have helped us to bring this back to our community, and we're really feeling as a lot of our ceremonies have been stolen, taken away, and we weren't allowed to practice these things during the early years of reservations and into the early 20th century. A lot of things were taken away, so we were really fortunate to have some elders that were able to teach us the ceremony and to help us to reintroduce that to our community. And through that, Jay is one of our elders that we were able to meet. Along with reintroducing the Sundance, we also, one of our goals is to prepare a place for the elders to come during these times of, they say in the old stories that there's times of purification that are coming upon us.
And now hold that thought, Jimmy, because here's where dreams and visions come in.
Okay.
In May of 2006, I was either going to sleep or getting up, and I had a very special experience. I saw it was almost like, standing looking at the side of one of those buildings in Times Square in New York City with the moving script. And it was telling me that I was supposed to go in a certain direction and raise funds for travel expenses to bring the elders together to literally save the planet, .. More information to follow. So, you know, when I heard about your plans there at the East Gate, and folks, the Membrano Apache, well, I'm going to turn it back over to Jimmy. I just wanted to tell you about that little dream I had. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Okay, so then, one of our visions here at the Eastern Gate, we're geographically in the furthest portion of the Four Corners Eastern Gate. And some of the old prophecies and stories, they speak of the elders gathering at the Eastern Gate and during these times to possibly make decisions for the future or to help guide people to better our earth and better the things that are around us. I'm not really sure.
We've just been pointed in a direction. We haven't been shown the rest of the vision yet, you know.
And so this is kind of primarily how I met Jay, and through you, Otter, and introducing us, and I think it was a lot of Grandpa that had a lot to put us all together. And we're all a piece of this great big puzzle, and somehow he's putting us together so we could continue doing his work like that. So I'm really, I'm really praying for Jay a lot. Our a lot of our ceremonies that are conducted have a lot of maybe self-affliction, you might want to say. In the sweat lodge, you kind of suffer. At the sundance, you suffer fast, and the men pierce their bodies. It's really a heavy prayer. So through this prayer, a lot of healings have happened. And even just to hear Jay's voice, that is just another confirmation of what's happening here is something good.
You should have heard a couple. Not to interrupt, but you should have heard a couple days ago. I didn't make the point that, you know, Jay calls me a voice from the dead. You know, and I expected him to sound like this. You know, with a whisper, and he calls me up, and his voice is almost as strong as it was 7 months ago before the heart attack.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, oh my gosh! And he says, you know, and he's and anyway. But
there's always strength in the red spirit. Always strength. Toke like ya e she ete aish sha ate nok ki yete le toka nakai she toke like ya e. Take life first. I once rode the plains, and now the sky dances. Call for me, always. Take life first, my red spirits.
Oh, ho. Well, you know, how many people knew that Jane Lone Wolf was an Apache language scholar? And, you know, so we, you know, Jimmy's got this vision out in front of him that also, and I'm sure he'll get to the ghost dance, but anyway, I have never been more excited in all the years that I've been involved in this work, because we were told certain things were going to happen. So, you know, I've studied the Native American side of things, but also studied the Hebrew side, and I think it's really interesting that this country's banks are about to be closed for a few days, you know, while they reorganize things. I'm sure that's what's going to happen. But, you know, the prophecies that we have specifically told us that this is going to happen during an election year, and other weather signs were given. So, and then that came from, you know, a Mormon direction, from a renegade Mormon bishop. And his prophecies are 100% true, have been for 100 years. So anyway, then we've got this prophecy coming from Ezekiel that points to 2008, and specifically this period of time, this month that we're in right now. Just getting ready to go into Yom Kippur, the Jewish New Year, I believe it's on the 26th. But like we've been telling folks, because of things that are going on in Israel between them and Palestinians and the United States government, and that they're trying to sell lands that were given to Joseph, who has millions and millions of descendants all around the world. What we knew there was a 2,760-year prophecy, and that that was going to come to an end right about this week. So anyway, hey, folks, if the Times haven't got your attention, I don't know what will get them. But anyway, Jimmy, go ahead, and that was just a little filler. Go ahead.
Well, we've been working really hard out here, you know, and I'm really looking forward to someday meeting with Jay. And the language is, to get to that for a minute, is really important. It's something that that our people have lost here in this area. And we're really excited to have a member of our family that knows this language now, and that's going to be able to help us to reintroduce that. As I was speaking earlier about the sun dance and the other ceremonies, we really strongly feel that, you know, there's a deep need in our society today to bring these ceremonies back to their rightful place amongst the people. And you know, there's just handfuls of folks here and there that really know these ceremonies and that are really trying hard to do that. But it's really hard in this they say we live in the, when we follow these ceremonial ways and these old ways, that we live in two worlds. We live in that world of the second world of the material and the wants and things like that, and we go back into that first world of the sacred and when things were of the absolute like that. And it's really hard for the young people these days to live back and forth between those two worlds, and that's why they're struggling so much. So many people are having problem with addiction and alcoholism, and there's so much things going on like that because people really doesn't understand. And that's a part of the work that we're doing here, is we're trying to open that up to all people, not just Native people, but to all people, to be able to reconnect and bring some balance back to themselves or to their lives, to their families, to their homes, whatever it might be that each person might be struggling with. And we have a good community here and a lot of strong warriors that are praying hard, and we're seeing change, but it's small change, you know. And we're just looking to hopefully, like I said, reintroduce more and more each time that we can to the people, because this is what we need right now, Otter. And Jay, you know, there's so much disruption amongst our world, and rape, thievery, murder, you know, even the kids in school aren't safe. And we have to start in our own homes and our own yards to clean these things up, and a lot of folks aren't seeing that. That's the importance of the ceremonies. That's what those are going to help with. Those bringing those back according to the old prophecies and the old ones, that it will bring balance back to our people. And the land will be returned to the Native people as caretakers. You know, and I believe these things because, and, you know, if I could just talk for a minute about the ghost dance, just for 1 minute. You know, that's part of, was part of my vision was, and I know there's been people through the years that have tried to reintroduce this dance. But part of my vision of this is the Creator has come to me and told me about this dance, and I'm waiting for the songs to be shown to me so we could start this. And it's going to be for all people, not just for Native people. It's for all people. The Dance of Welcome, it's called. And this is going to break a lot of those bridges and barriers that we have of prejudice and things like that we're hoping and praying for. And I know you have some thoughts on that that you were thinking about.
Well, yeah, you know? it was kind of interesting.
I want
to take a break, folks, and we'll be back.
Echoes of another time, let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper,
prophecy keeper.
Oh. Surrounds us like a lover's hand upon the heart. The very breath you gave me grows intently through the years.
When they come to us in dreams,
so let the wind.
Friends, January 1st, 2010 is the deadline for turning over your personal biometric readings at a regional U.S. government facility. If you don't comply with the RELIDI Act, you will not be able to legally drive. Some people caught driving illegally have recently been electrically tortured before being arrested by the new police state. If you can't drive, you probably won't be able to work, purchase food, or sell. Friends, check your scriptures. This sounds like the mark of the beast described in Revelations chapter 13. SurvivalismSkills.com has helped thousands of people just like you plan for the future. At SurvivalismSkills.com, learn to convert your car to hydrogen, create a food storage program, protect yourself from cell telephone radiation, learn about intelligent water, get rid of poor health, learn Native American survival skills. Get your free Oak Ridge Labs new Clear War Survival Skills book download now at SurvivalismSkills.com. That's SurvivalismSkills.com.
And we're back. I was going to tell folks what I was taught about the ghost dance. And I was taught this by grandfather John Rolling Thunder Pope. He was a Paint Clan Chickamauga Cherokee. He didn't claim to be a Cherokee medicine man, but he was an intertribal medicine man, and probably the most well-known medicine man of the 20th century. He was a personal friend of Bob Dylan. And the Grateful Dead. Back during the hippie days. Anyway, what he taught me was that the ghost dance, as most people knew it. They didn't understand the ghost dance because the intent and the way it was danced had been changed, and lies had been written about it in books. And of course, Grandfather Rolling Thunder was in the Billy Jack movies, and also in the Billy Jack movies was Wovoka's. And if you're familiar with the ghost dance, you know what Wovoka is. Well, Wovoka's son-in-law, Andy Vidovich, was on the crew, and he taught the cast and crew the ghost dance, and they danced it in the movie. And we've got that clip at originalghostdance.com. But anyway, my friend Ben Yosef brings Jimmy to my house. One of the first things that comes out of Jimmy's mouth was, "What do you know about the ghost dance?" And I just put a finger up, wait one, and I walked over and popped a DVD in the machine. I said, "This is what you're looking for." And so that's it. So we just did it. It was just like wham, you know. And then we met Jay. And then, and then 7 months of, I don't know what's been telling us to slow down, but, you know, I found in the past that when you're doing what Creator wants you to do, there's going to be opposition. And boy, has there been. So let me go ahead and tell the folks what you know, Jimmy.
Well, it's, the ghost town started with Jack Wilson back in the 1890s, and, his native name was Wovoka. He was a Paiute man. And he was given vision after supposedly being dead for 5 days. And they were going to open him up on the fifth day to see if he bled. And he came out of his coma or whatever it was that he was in. And he said he actually spoke to God. and this is what the instructions that he was given for this dance. Well, like you said earlier, it was taken out of text and it was changed. And people became fearful of it because it seemed to bring some kind of strength back to the native people also too, and some kind of feeling of belonging and things that are that at a really terrible time in our history for the native people that they needed to have some kind of strength brought back to them like that. And this is also how the Sundances came about too. But through this vision of Jack Wilson, you know, everything kind of got jumbled around and changed, and a bunch of people who ended up getting killed at Wounded Knee, and it just turned real tragic. So the people could not practice this dance anymore openly. We couldn't practice our sun dances. We couldn't do our sweat lodges. And if it wasn't for a few very brave elders and people that took these things underground and kept them hidden away, the dance consists of it's a 4-day dance, the sun dance. The ghost dance is also a 4-day dance. But people hid. They hid to do these dances. They wouldn't pierce anymore during the Sundance time. Fear of showing the marks on their body, they would be persecuted, sent to prison, whipped, punished, things like that. Well, they practiced these things underground. Well, about 5-6 years ago, you know, I just started having these dreams and these things about this dance, you know, and books were put into my hands, and things just happened to correlate together like that. It was some kind of vision that I was having about this, and to bring it back for the people, for all people, not just for Native people, but for all people, to like I said earlier, break these bridges and these barriers of this prejudice that's been. They say there's no prejudice still in our country or around the world, but there is, and there's a lot of it.
There sure is.
And you know, it's one of the biggest things that we've had problems with our people. You know, they have to get identification cards to say who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, terrible things are still that. You know, a lot of people in this country think that the Native Americans really have it made because of the casinos that some of them were given and things like that. And some of them do, but the majority of the Native people are still living third world, and they're still living really rough. The South Dakota Pine Ridge Reservation is number one place in America for suicide, young people committing suicide.
Yeah, I hate to chime in here, but if Grandfather Jaime Perez were sitting in this circle, he would want to chime up and say, well, you know, this fellow is a Mixteca medicine man, and he's done translation work for Grandfather Hunbutt's men, and he's also run for mayor in El Paso. And he's got a master's degree in public administration. So, you know, he was telling me about the situation with the casino down in El Paso, and he said, you know, he says they made a tremendous amount of money, and he says, instead of putting it into some kind of industry, something to make the tribe self-sufficient, he says, they bought the huge houses and the Mercedes Benzes. And he says, now the casinos shut down or not making enough money, and you know, they can't even afford to put their gasoline in their, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he says, and if all the casinos in this country would give 5% of their annual income to Indians south of the border, he says, we just got to learn to share it. Number one, we got to be smart about money.
Yes.
You know, and that's where guys like Grandfather Jay Lone Wolf come in. I mean, the man's been blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm sure he's got enough lawyers to be smart about money. You know, so anyway, we got to learn to handle money. We got to learn to put a nation together. Like right now, the Republic of Lakota, you know, you don't hear a lot, but you know, there's going to be some interesting things coming out, because you got people like Norbert Johnson, who literally wrote the book on economic development for Indian tribes. And I'm talking about a 1,000-page, $300 kind of book that all the tribes buy. And he's that much of an equity. Anyway, he's out there working in that direction. I got off on a tangent. You'll have to excuse me. Go ahead.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, the one thing is the people have to learn is how to take care of their money, take care of things like that.
Jimmy, Jay was saying something. What did you say, Jay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's not too far from the mark. I go to the Miccosukee Reservation.
Yeah.
I see three Hummers in a driveway, and those are just cars to go to the store with. I look at some of our people, and they have a grand of wealth, but they forget, like everything else, like the wind sometimes when you're sailing. It doesn't always last, and then you're left to drift. People have to remember that the wind and the waves are always on the side of the ablest navigator. We have to learn to share in order to grow. We have to learn to conserve in order to preserve. We have to maintain the word in order to keep the red spirit strong. I cannot believe sometimes when I go to the reservation where the average income there is six figures, and I see people spending money like there's no tomorrow. You know what? These things are made of stone. A good hurricane can bring that down. Some of us forget this. We have to share with one another in order to grow. There is no growth without sharing. If I have the seeds for corn and you do not, you will starve. We have to share. This is a funny climate we live in. You know, I used to be able to step outside and take a deep breath and feel freedom. Now when I step outside and I take a deep breath, I smell debt. I suspect Wall Street has something to do with that. I'll be paying for somebody's debt who I don't know. Then I watch a debate. I see a pretty smile, pretty teeth, pretty hair, tight dress and a thong, but no message. My father always told me, let your speech be better than silence, or remain silent, but listen to the people. The people speak. The people's hearts scream. Their souls yell. Their spirits thunder. Yet they do not listen to the people. We have somebody come over from Alaska, wants to run for vice president, has never took the time to listen to the Eskimos. Now, ironically, I found out, she just wants to use a few hundred acres to drill in of millions of acres. But ironically, those acres are right on or about native ground.
Yeah,
so what do we do? We move them out? Listen to the people. Listen to the spirit of our people. It's so important. I apologize for ranting. My spirit gets on fire sometimes.
Oh, I'm glad. You know, the folks out there, if you've never really been around a traditional elder, you've really missed things. It's really special to just sit and listen to someone who is steeped in a culture. Rolling Thunder was very, very special to me because he was steeped not only in our own Cherokee culture, and knew enough about Cherokees to know one when he saw me coming and said so. And people have no, most people have no conception of the depth of commitment that people like Jane Lone Wolf and Jimmy Ten Rivers and Ben Yosef have to, and the commitment that they have to teach people about different cultures. And I've been doing this for a lot of years, and, you know, I was looking into my astrology. I mean, it's in my astrology, folks. It's what I do. It's like Robert Goswell, before he passed away, he said, you know, sometimes, you know, he and I would cry, and of course, on, you know, you know, we were brave, you know, on the outside, you know, we were confident, but talking between each other sometimes, you know, I call him and I cry, or vice versa, but he'd say, you know what, we're going to get up in the morning, we're going to do it again, because it's what we do. But anyway, I've preached enough. Jimmy, go ahead.
Take it away.
It's funny you say that. You know, one thing we say in our sweat lodge, we always talk about, like, in the morning, the birds wake up and they'll be singing their songs, and they don't really know what's going to be happening to them that day. They could get hit by a car or catch a BB gun or something could happen, but they still sing their songs every day, every morning. You get up, you hear those birds out there. And the same thing is true with our people. You know, the songs are very important, the language very important. So it's important that they learn those songs and they learn those things in order to make a better place for us. And so we get up anyway. We don't know sometimes how we're going to pay our bills or if grandma's going to make it through the day or, you know, or what's going to happen. We have a lot of struggles. I'm disabled myself. I've been hurt since 1984. I broke my neck in a car accident. And, you know, and we don't know from day to day, but we still wake up singing our songs. We still wake up praying to Creator, to Houston, and, you know, it's really powerful like that, because it's almost like a blind faith, you know, but that's okay too, because we know the instructions that Creator gave to our people, and when you understand those things, when you go to ceremony or you're around a good community like the community we have here, and you start to understand those kind of things, and you're able to see and recognize things that other folks out there that are running 9-to-5 jobs and don't have time even to sit down with their families, you know, you start recognizing things that folks like that can't really see. So sometimes, you know, the folks got to kind of slow down, just kind of look around, and for people, you know, for all people, it's we need to keep singing those songs. We need to remember these old ways, these old teachings, and start bringing them back a little bit more, reintroducing them to our families and to whoever we can, because this is the instructions that I've received, that where the changes are going to come about. And so I really believe that. You know, one thing we say for all our ceremonies, and I would like maybe Jay to teach us how to say this in the Apache language, in the Ende language, because we've adopted a lot of things from the northern people in this area, like the sun dances, the Lakota ceremony, and the way of the Chanupa, the pipe, is the northern so.
Well, let's take a break, 2 minute break. And, hey, Don, wake up in the studio and put our break music on. And then we'll come back. And folks, if you need a cup of coffee, squeeze a kidney or whatever, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Let the truth be known to all mankind again. And know your wisdom, teach us while you can. There's a mighty dark cloud hanging overhead, oh yeah, hanging again.
Friends, January 1st, 2010 is the deadline for turning over your personal biometric readings at a regional U.S. government facility. If you don't comply with the RELIDE Act, you will not be able to legally drive. Some people caught driving illegally have recently been electrically tortured before being arrested by the new police state. If you can't drive, you probably won't be able to work, purchase food, or sell. Friends, check your scriptures. This sounds like the mark of the beast described in Revelations chapter 13. SurvivalismSkills.com has helped thousands of people just like you plan for the future. At SurvivalismSkills.com, learn to convert your car to hydrogen, create a food storage program, protect yourself from cell telephone radiation, learn about intelligent water, get rid of poor health, learn Native American survival skills. Get your free Oak Ridge Labs new Clear War Survival Skills book download now at SurvivalismSkills.com. That's SurvivalismSkills.com.
Okay, folks, we're back from break. And
Jamie was just telling me what to remind him of, so since we came back on the air, I'll let him tell everybody what to remind him of.
Well,
you've been smoking, man.
Yeah. Well, I was just talking earlier about our ceremonies, and I was asking Jay, you know, if he could just, in the Ndé language, if he could, we adopted the saying that they say in the North, you know, whenever we speak, or we're going to speak in ceremony, or when we're done speaking, or when we're entering or coming out, we always say to all my relations. And I was just wondering if Jay could iterate on that and give us the Ndé, how we would say that in Ndé. To all my relations.
I'm sorry, I could not hear.
The words to all my relations in the Ndé language.
Would you like me to say something to our people?
Yes.
Yeah, he just I guess he wanted to go through how different things are said, and particularly all my relations.
Oh, Niki Meshi Nahaha No O Aote Ishi Nihi She Ane Leche Ne Yeti Shi Ahi Ane. I live in a land where thousands of people come and still do not speak my tongue, yet claim they're my benefactors. Sorry to be political this moment.
Yeah.
Well, this is just one thing that we try to point out, you know, to a lot of people, is that we're all related. You know, if it's the animals, the plants, the water, the air, we're all related to all these things. And we all have to start recognizing it as that, because you wouldn't... maybe in this day and age some people would, but they wouldn't hit their mother. They wouldn't pollute her like that, the way they're doing to our earth and all these things that are going on. You know, so that's the importance of that to all my relations, is that people understand that we're all related. You know, and we're all related to this earth and all things on her, and it was one of our original instructions as people to take care of things.
Yeah,
and
true.
And we're not doing it, you know. And so people really need to listen to that. When you speak, say to all my relations, and you could understand, if these are your relatives, then why do you hurt them? Why do you hurt the waters? Why do you hurt the airs?
That's right.
Yeah.
Mother Earth allows us to live on her flesh, yet we tear it, yet we destroy it, yet we pollute it. Are we beings or ticks on Mother Earth? If we are ticks, then we need to be disinfected. If we are beings, then we need to be like trees, plant roots, grow, flourish the red spirit, and teach others, educate others to do the same. We should be Mother Earth's embrace, not Mother Earth's disease. It is important that we learn, and as elders teach the youngers to do that and understand and respect it. Don't ride a dune buggy 100 miles through a desert and destroy the desert. The desert is there for a reason. It is where eventually we will probably meet the Creator in a desert. Let's keep it pristine. Let's learn to conserve. Let's learn to preserve. Let's learn to teach the young warriors to respect what we have respected and our 10 fathers before us have respected. Yet we move on and they linger. It is important that the message move forward, that Mother Earth embraces us. She comforts us. She feeds us. She keeps us there on this mystical rug so that the day when the Creator sends the great white horse, we can get blessed and go home. She keeps us. She babysits us for Creator. Yet, we turn against the babysitter. We throw stones against the babysitter. We defile the babysitter. We need to remember. We reside with the babysitter because Creator left us in her care. When he comes back, Creator will pass judgment for those of us who did not take care of the babysitter. It is so important that we convey that message, because we have no other message in the world. We must convey the message of humility, the message of learning how to educate one another so we can move forward as a people. There is no one I dislike in this planet. There is no one I have that much disdain or hate for. or I may not agree with half the people in the planet, but by golly, there is no way I shall defile Mother Earth, who embraced me from birth, who fed me from birth, who bathed me from birth, who's kept me moving on a direction to my people, and now with Creator's help, I'm almost there. We must remember that Niki Bohohahate Le'aunok, honor Mother Earth, and she will feed us.
Now, oh,
I wake
oh.
you, Blue Otter.
Oh. Jay?
Yes.
I sure am glad you're still with us.
I know. People call it Mother Earth. I call it my babysitter.
Yeah.
Because I don't know any other structure, or I like to say spirit being, this great sphere we reside, this spirit being that gives so much life and life flourishes so much, and yet not all the time, but sometimes we need to turn away and we must turn right back, apologize, and fix what we have broken.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, do you have anything to add? We've got just a couple more minutes before we'll go to the closing.
There was just one more thing that I would like to talk about, and I guess that would be the return of Geronimo's skull. You know, back in the days of Prescott Bush, it was understood that through a woman that had dated many of the bonesmen, that she found this information to be true, that the skull of Geronimo was taken along with Mangus and some of the other warriors, some of their bones were taken, and through that this Skull and Bone Society was formed, and that there's been a lot of unclean rituals that have been performed with these skulls and with these bones, and our people have been crying for a long time for the return of these items, sacred items, and that's along with all the sacred items that have been stolen through the years. I've been into museums and I've seen the dresses of women and the papooses of little kids, and they have these things in museums on displays, and these are sacred items to our people, even the sacred pipes and the drums and all these things. They need to be returned. According to my friend Ben Yosef, there's been a terrible curse placed upon the Bush family because of this, and I kind of have no reason to doubt that.
The Sanhedrin, you know, when he was in Jerusalem, they delivered a scroll to him telling him that, you know, if he would stop pushing for certain things, that he wouldn't be qualifying to be Gog and Magog. But if he continued doing what he was doing, in their estimation, that's what he was going to be. We live in the end times, folks. But, yeah, and you know what? You know, the more and more evil that that gets shown, you're going to see some spectacular things coming from Creator. And we've got about 30 seconds. Grandfather Jay, you want to say goodbye to the folks?
Oh, yes, and I'd like to give a shout-out to 4MC.
Oh, take your time. Take your time. We're going right up to the top of the hour, with or without break music.
Okay. I'd just like to give a shout-out to 4 motorcycle groups that have always supported me. One group is called Jerusalem Freedom MC. The other one's called Native American MC. The other group is called Bikers for Christ MC. And the Last Disciples MC. I'd like to give them all a thank and praise them for all their work with the poor and helping those that are in tremendous need. And I'd like to remind everybody that Mother Earth is not just Mother Earth. She's our babysitter. She is the benefactor who will be handing us to Creator. Let's please respect this great carpet we walk on. Thank you.
Well, Don, go ahead and play the closing music. And, folks, this has been another episode of Prophecy Keepers Radio. We will see you next week. And, want to recommend everybody take a look at intelwater.com, intellwater.com. We're going to be talking more about the genie water wands and how good they are for you, because they create a special kind of water right in your bottle. But I did promise to say something about that tonight, but got sidetracked. Donald, go ahead and play our closing music. And folks, thanks for listening.
And blow, let the truth be known.
Of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times. From the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Levant, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.